We're talking about purchase limits imposed by major retailers on baby formulas, the FDA recall from earlier this year, and the compounding challenges for parents to feed their baby. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Nearly half of all infants in the U.S. participate in WIC. That's the Special Supplemental Nutrition Program for Women, Infants, and Children. With that data reported by the advocacy group, the National WIC Association, its policy director telling The Washington Post that they're concerned about the stress of the recall, the empty shelves that might cause parents to resort to risky practices, jeopardizing infant growth. Join in on baby formula, what you've experienced out there, 800-642-1234. Chris Grover is manager of the Wisconsin Infant and Children Vendor Unit. Chris, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning.
Good morning. And Carrie Malone here as well, WIC Program Director within the State Department of Health Services. Carrie, welcome to you.
Good morning.
Good morning. Carrie, let's start with you. Can you give us an update on what inventory is like out there on store shelves for baby formula?
Sure. I do think right now it does vary a bit from week to week, from day to day. We have heard from Abbott that some of the products such as Similac Advance, which is their cow's milk-based formula, is starting to have a healthier market on the shelves. But I think still we are seeing some shortages, just varies day to day and week to week on what is out there.
Is there any idea what is going on with the supply?
Well, I think to back up a bit, I'll note that even before this formula recall, which happened in February, we were experiencing a shortage in supply of formula based on, you know, what was happening with COVID. So that's just compounded and compacted this. And because the Sturgis plant in Michigan does produce certain formulas and specialty formulas such as Elicare and the Similac Sensitive, those are not, you know, in a healthy market right now. There are other plants that Abbott has throughout the country that are producing some of those formulas. So that's why we're seeing those get back on the shelves a little bit faster. But until the Sturgis plant opens, I think we're going to continue to see these sort of shortages.
That is the Michigan plant, is that right?
The Michigan
yes.
plant, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Chris, you know, you've worked in this, working with vendors for decades. Have you seen a shortage or a situation like this before?
Certainly not in the formula area. As COVID hit, you know, we were experiencing outages of variety of products or limited varieties, but it's never been like this in the formula market before.
What are those conversations like with vendors? What do they say?
They're saying that they order product and they don't know whether they're going to receive it or will they get a lesser quantity than they originally ordered. I understand most of the formulas are on allocations, which does mean that even going to the warehouses, they're trying to distribute the product between warehouses, so they may not get as much, but they're trying to assure that as many stores can get some product as possible.
Now, Carrie, we're going to step back here considerably, but I want you just to give us some of this context as to how does the WIC program support women, infants, and children and connected here to this baby formula conversation. What about the WIC program?
Sure. So let me just talk a little bit about what WIC is and the benefits and, you know, who qualifies. So again, who qualifies for WIC? Pregnant women, infants, women who are breastfeeding and postpartum, and children up to age 5. You do need to meet the income guidelines to qualify. So there are income eligibility guidelines, but I will note that many working families do qualify for WIC. The benefits that participants receive when participating in WIC include nutrition education, breastfeeding education and support, and I do want to come back to that a minute, and supplemental nutritious foods that they purchase with their eWIC card, And then, of course, referrals to other sources in the community. I do want to note with breastfeeding that WIC really is the nation's premier public health program for breastfeeding, and we do provide breastfeeding as and promote it as the optimal feeding option for infants. But for those who cannot breastfeed, for certain reasons, we do provide formula. And this is obviously why this recall affects so many of our WIC participants here in Wisconsin, including we currently have about 14,500 infants that were receiving formula that was recalled this past February.
14,500 infants through the WIC program who were receiving this formula. Chris, so what does that mean then? How do you find the substitutions for WIC recipients? What can they do?
Well, the first thing that happened was USDA gave us the ability through waivers to issue more formula than we would normally be allocated to do. That provided us an opportunity to use larger can sizes of formulas that are out there, also to diversify the brands of formulas that we've provided. We added over 100 different formulas in order to meet the needs that were left after the Abbott recall.
And those are formulas that WIC participants could find adequately on the shelves. Is inventory with those substitutions a problem?
Excuse me, I'm sorry.
That's okay. Take your time.
By having more diverse products, it has helped to reduce the impact mm-hmm. of, especially in our more standard formulas. Certainly where we are having more difficulties is when we get into the more specialized formula. Mm-hmm. So the more specialized the formula is, the fewer brands that are out there to replace and be used as an option. And those recalls weighed very heavily on some of those areas of specialty formulas.
We're talking about the recent formula recall, the shortage that is impacting WIC recipients in Wisconsin. That voice there, Chris Grover, the vendor relations manager. We have Carrie Malone here, who is the WIC program director, the agency housed in DHS, Department of Health Services. You can join in on baby formula, what you've seen, and infant nutrition. Your questions, 800-642-1234. Carrie, you mentioned with the recall, 14,500 infants impacted there. Have there been any reports of sickness of Wisconsin babies with this baby formula that was recalled?
Fortunately, not that we are aware of.
Not that you're aware of, yes.
Yeah.
Have you had instances where you have to have dealt with recalls like this, or is this unusual?
This is somewhat unusual, and I think for those on the ground, our local agency, WIC nutritionists, they're really having to do a lot of counseling and extra work to help our families find formulas and then provide a message that, you know, not to make homemade baby formula, not to stop using formula. So it's been a toll on families and a toll on our local WIC agencies who are out there on the front lines.
You've been in touch with the advocacy group, the National WIC Association, that's working across states. What are other states doing to address this issue?
I would say very much the same as we are. We are all in the same boat right now, you know, again, waiting for you know, hopefully soon that Sturgis plant to open. And so they can ramp up production of, as Chris mentioned, those specialty formulas that are getting extremely hard to find. Yeah, we are really all in the same boat trying to work together. And it's really the same.
I'm wondering, we've heard reports of, you know, parents driving across state lines just to find inventory at a store with the formula they need. To what lengths are people having to go to find formula?
I think it probably varies where you're at in the
uh-huh.
state.
Uh-huh.
Certainly some of our more rural areas are going to be, maybe hit harder with supply. Yeah, it's it, like I said, it does vary day to day, and it is very difficult. And for those families that already have some barriers in place that we serve, transportation, you know, driving from store to store is not ideal.
We're discussing infant nutrition, the supply problems, how parents are working through this with WIC agencies, the Women, Infant, and Children Program. Carrie Malone, their program director for WIC, housed in the State Health Department. Chris Grover manages the WIC vendor unit. Join in on formula, what you've experienced in baby feedings, 800-642-1234. Back in a minute, more conversation here on the Ideas Network. We're talking about the squeeze on baby formula and how it affects families on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. According to the CDC's breastfeeding report card, about 25% of infants were fed exclusively with breast milk through the first 6 months. Wisconsin slightly above the national average at 28%. Share your experience with formula with baby nutrition, 800-642-1234. Carrie Malone, program director for WIC, the Special Supplemental Nutrition Program for Women, Infants, and Children Program. That's at the State Health Department. Chris Grover there as well, manager of the WIC vendor unit there with us for about 9 more minutes. Let's bring in Nancy now in Milwaukee. Nancy, hi. What experience would you like to share?
Hello to you. I am 90 years old, dear, and I had babies in the 1950s. That's 1950, 1950s. I did not choose to breastfeed, and when I left the hospital, the doctor gave me a very simple formula using carnation, evaporated milk, Karo syrup, and water. It took 5 minutes to make, and the babies thrived on this, absolutely thrived. They gained weight, and in about 8 months, they just drank cow's milk. But I am seriously concerned about the fact that American mothers have been programmed by formula manufacturers to think that it is only their formula that will suffice if a mother can't breastfeed. One day at Walmart,
Nancy, I want to just pause right here because you're bringing up some really important points that I want Carrie to address. Making formula at home is point one there. Carrie, go ahead.
Yeah, so the WIC program does follow the American Academy of Pediatrics guidelines, where we do say that obviously, as I mentioned before, we want to promote breastfeeding as the optimal feeding for infants. But if, for instance, someone cannot breastfeed, we are recommending formula as the alternative option based on guidelines from the American Academy of Pediatrics, as well as really, stressing that making homemade baby formulas is unsafe.
Is unsafe. And what about manufacturers then, in the marketing of saying, hey, you know, use our formula, this formula is best, mothers. And then, you know, the mother's basically thinking, I have to have, you know, Similac or bust. Is there anything to that?
Well, I think I don't know. I'm not an expert in marketing of formulas, for sure. But I think that, you know, as a company trying to make money, that is something they're going to be doing, is marketing formulas in ways that would make you think one is better than the other.
Mm-hmm. Chris, you know, there might be some people thinking, well, if you can't find the formula on the shelf, why not just switch to a different one? Or why not just breastfeed? Why can't people just make that switch? And I'm wondering if you could address that thought.
I'm going to defer that question back to Carrie
Carrie, yeah, go ahead. Yes.
So switching back and forth, I mean, we at the WIC clinic can really help parents talk through how to safely and accurately switch formulas gradually, just so baby can, some of that can be tolerated better. It's not easy for some infants and not for others.
What questions are you getting, Chris, from your vendors to you on what, you know, as WIC recipients try to find what they need on the shelf? What are you working through with these vendors?
Well, we've provided a publication that we use for both our families and for our stores, indicating which are alternative formulas. So just keeping them apprised of what the alternatives are. We've provided the UPCs to assist them in identifying, you know, the correct product, because some of the naming conventions are kind of confusing.
UPC, is that the code on the packaging?
Yes, that's the barcode.
The barcode.
And those identify, you know, are specific to each size and brand, and so that helps the vendor or the retailer to select the correct product that would be an appropriate substitution. Early on, it was for the Similac Advance, and now helping them more with, you know, some of the substitutions. Also letting them know, you know, I've been looking at some redemption history, and if their stores have been low, indicating, you know, that information so that the managers at the corporate level can look to see, are the stores ordering in products appropriately?
We're talking about WIC, about the Special Supplemental Nutrition Program for Women, Infants, and Children, and how the recent recall, the shortage of infant formula, is impacting WIC recipients. Chris Grover there, the vendor relations manager. Carrie Malone is the WIC program director. Carrie, the state health department saying parents should not dilute formula. What questions are you getting from WIC recipients if they're having trouble making sure that they have enough formula?
Yeah, I think we're definitely, WIC is a supplemental program, so we obviously don't meet the needs, of all infants 100% of the time. But, you know, we're still stressing, if you can't find a formula, buy what you can. And then, you know, maybe call the store or get a hold of the store later in the week to see if the supply has come back in. I think I will also say for moms who were, you know, are breastfeeding and maybe giving formula as well, WIC can really help with supporting breastfeeding and helping you to gain your milk supply back. So, maybe you could breastfeed more as well during this shortage, as well as we know some of our emergency food pantries have been donated some formula. So we may be referring families for an option to find formula at the food shelves as well.
Can you explain what kind of breastfeeding support you might provide? What would that look like?
Yeah, I think just really, working with a mom to make sure she's working with her to find out how often she's breastfeeding and kind of what are her goals, and making sure that, we can even help her with, pumping if that's the case. We're trained quite in an advanced level for breastfeeding support at the local agencies.
Has WIC really expanded into this area of breastfeeding support, or has it always been there as part of the program?
It's always been there as part of the program. I would say in the last 15 years, it's been elevated dramatically, because we do know that there is not a anything better than breast milk for babies, and that's what we really want to promote, is the optimal feeding option. But of course, again, if you cannot breastfeed, formula is the next best option.
Any indication, Carrie, how long this shortage of baby formula will go on for, how long it will last?
It's a great question. I'm not sure I exactly know. I think we're hoping in the next couple of weeks to hear more from Abbott on when the Sturgis plant in Michigan will reopen. I think it's going to take a while for us to see a healthy market of formula back on the shelves.
Chris, any idea on the last how long it will go as you talk with vendors?
Well, certainly we'll see Similac Advance improving, and has been improving already. Some of the specialty formulas, we've seen the companies that make comparable products have been working to increase their production. We're starting to feel some of those products getting into the marketplace. to help those infants. So, you know, seeing some improvements, but I would say it's going to be several months before we're back to what we would consider to be normal and healthy. And all of this, as Carrie said, compounded by some of the difficulties that are still carrying over from COVID.
Hmm. Well, Carrie and Chris, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Carrie Malone is Program Director for WIC, the Special Supplemental Nutrition Program for Women, Infants, and Children at the Wisconsin Department of Health Services. Chris Grover, their State Vendor Manager for the WIC program. Stay with us just ahead. We talk about infant and child nutrition with a registered dietitian and a certified lactation counselor who has a special focus on pediatric health. Join in on baby nutrition, your questions, your experiences, 800-642-1234. News update is next here on the Ideas Network. We're making space for the breastfeeding journey and infant nutrition on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. And look, it is a journey. I thought I knew the ropes with breastfeeding experience for my first two, incorporating pumping into the workday, and then came twins. And there it is. Every journey is different. Some people breastfeed exclusively, some pump, some supplement with formula, some switch over to formula completely. What was it like for you? What did you come to realize about nutrition through breastfeeding? And what questions do you have? 800-642-1234. Danielle Zold is a registered dietitian, nutritionist, and certified lactation counselor with a focus on pediatric nutrition. Danielle, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Hi, Kate. Thanks so much for having me on.
Yes. So you're a Wisconsin native, but you now live in the Denver area. What are people in Colorado experiencing for the availability of baby formula?
Yeah, so it's really interesting, and it was great hearing the Wisconsin WIC folks on before. So we actually have Enfamil as our contracted formula. And so I think we have slightly different issues here in Colorado. We were able to add about 4 or 5 new formulas to our WIC formulary. So I don't think we have as large of an issue in Colorado as in Wisconsin, but we certainly are feeling it. And we do have some new options for parents to use. And so it's been difficult, but we definitely have other options now, which is great.
Yes, well, with options comes change. What is that process like of switching from, you know, whether it's being formula fed to solid foods or to breast milk or even switching brands?
Yeah, so luckily we have a great process in place. We have something called a physician authorization form. And so the family, the participant on WIC, can actually take that form to their provider and say, can you please check off any possible formulas that my baby can have? And that way, if they have one formula that they like, they go to the store, can't find it anywhere. Maybe they go to 4 or 5 different stores. That's what we're hearing. They can call the WIC office and we can say, oh, I see that you have on file, you can have this other formula. Why don't we switch it if that's on the shelf in the store that you're currently in? So it's actually a pretty great process that we've worked out.
From a nutritionist standpoint, human milk, one of the best foods for babies. Can you explain why that is so important?
Why breast milk is so
yes.
important?
Uh-huh.
Or why?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. So breast milk is super important for babies' development. It has all the vitamins, minerals, nutrients, calories that babies need to grow and thrive. And it's tailored for your specific baby. So your breast milk actually produces antibodies. So when you're sick, your breast milk produces antibodies so that your baby may not get sick because you're passing on those antibodies. So there's so many benefits to breastfeeding. I can go on and on.
So with breastfeeding and also with using infant formula, how is infant formula different than like cow's milk? Or why is infant formula unique?
So infant formula is regulated by the FDA. It's curated with all the vitamins and minerals that are typically found in breast milk, but not found in cow's milk. So it has everything that babies need. The FDA has really strict standards as far as what can go into infant formula. So that's why we prefer infant formula and strongly, strongly recommend infant formula instead of breast milk until a year. Of course, breast milk would be the preferred option, but if for any reason a mom cannot breastfeed, we do recommend infant formula instead of cow's milk.
You said about a year. So when should you see, what are the signs when you should wean off the formula and really to start introducing some solid foods?
Excellent question. So at 6 months, that's when the Academy of Pediatrics recommends starting purees for infants. And there's a continuum of change that happens from 6 months to a year. And at a year is when we would recommend switching from infant formula or breastfeeding in most cases to cow's milk.
Okay. So
of course we can continue with breast milk as long as families and babies prefer. But we do recommend switching from infant formula to cow's milk at 1 year.
And what happens at that 1 year switch? You know, because every baby I would imagine is a little bit different.
Absolutely. And if we have, let's say, a premature baby born, you know, 4, 5, 6 weeks early, we actually may want to keep them on infant formula a little bit past a year. Mm-hmm. It really just depends on each individual child.
We're talking with Danielle Zuld, who is a registered dietitian nutritionist and certified lactation counselor with a focus on pediatric nutrition. You can join in with your questions, your experience, whether it is breastfeeding, whether it is with formula, 800-642-1234. Danielle, what tips or advice do you give when someone is trying to perhaps, trying to maybe go back to work and will need to either have a supplement of formula or you know, kind of wean off of nursing? What are some tips there?
Yeah, so we recommend waiting to wean from nursing until baby is showing less interest in nursing, when mom and baby decide that it's time to wean. And that really looks different for every dyad, every mom and baby partnership. We recommend starting with purees at about 6 months, and sometimes baby can show a little bit less interest in eating at that point. But one thing that we really want to make sure that we're doing is paying attention to their cues. So if babies are turning their head away or closing their mouth when you're feeding them purees, typically that means that they're full. And so we don't want to keep pushing the spoon towards them or encouraging them to take a bite. We really want to follow their cues, both with feeding, with formula, and with breast milk.
What kind of purees might you suggest?
We do recommend starting with a single variety puree just at first, just in the first maybe 6 or 7 months. That way we can pay attention and see if there are any signs of potential allergens. Mm-hmm. And so we recommend offering one puree, one variety every 3 to 5 days, just so that the parents can watch for any potential allergic reactions.
What are your thoughts on like baby oatmeal for weaning or oats to thicken the milk? What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, so we do not recommend adding infant cereal to the bottle because that can be a choking hazard, but you can mix breast milk or mixed formula with infant cereal. It's a great source of iron. And then feed that to the baby on a spoon, just not in a bottle.
Okay. And so what about like mashing up a banana or making your own purees? Do you have any tips there?
Absolutely. So at 6 months, it should be more of a thin puree, not a lot of texture. At about 7 or 8 months, that's when we can really start adding in more texture and having a little bit of fun with food, which is one of my favorite things. So you could do maybe a mashed banana or mashed avocado, because then it has some lumps and it's a little bit more it has more texture than a simple puree.
It's more interesting.
It's more interesting. It's more fun. And it's a great practice
more
for
messy.
The next few months. Exactly. Exactly. We love mess.
How can we establish really healthy eating habits from the very beginning? As you try to work with parents and as they introduce these purees, introduce different foods, how do you make it a healthy start for that baby?
So I think the most important thing is to offer foods over and over and over again. Repeated exposures are really important. It can take 10 to 15, even 20 exposures for kids to accept new foods. And we're talking infants and children. And so I think a lot of times I have parents who will say, I tried giving my baby this form or this puree and they didn't really like it. Maybe they made a funny face or it took a while to eat it. But unless they've tried something at least 20 times, I don't like to label foods as they like it or they don't like it because it's something that they're still learning.
That's really interesting. So maybe if they're not into it today, try it in a day or two, maybe next week.
Yeah.
Just kind of keep coming back to it and see what happens next.
Exactly. And actually, research shows that every other day is best for food reintroductions.
Ah.
So let's say you're trying avocado at 7 or 8 months and maybe they make a face. Well, avocado is very different than the taste of breast milk or the taste of formula or maybe something else that they've eaten in the past. So it could be a look of surprise and not a look of disgust. So keep trying it over and over and over again, preferably.
We have Danielle Zuhl, who is a certified lactation counselor focusing on pediatric nutrition as we discuss nursing sessions, helping babies thrive. Join in at any point with your questions, your experiences on infant nutrition, 800-642-1234. We'll be back in a minute with Danielle Zuhl here on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Most infants receive some breast milk in our country, with about a quarter of infants being breastfed exclusively for the first 6 months. That's from the CDC. Breastfeeding, it can be a wonderful experience. It can also be a really challenging one. We'd love to hear about what you have encountered, what questions you have about baby nutrition, infant nutrition, 800-642-1234. Danielle Zuhl is a certified lactation counselor and with us for about 10 more minutes. Danielle, what should mothers monitor about their own health while breastfeeding?
There really aren't too many restrictions. I think the most important thing is when you have a brand new baby, and maybe there are older kids at home too, it's really hard to prioritize feeding yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So I often talk to moms who are like, yeah, you know, my baby's 10 days old and I think I'm eating one or two meals a day. Like I just don't have the time or the appetite. And so I think it's less in this case about the what and more of the how often are you eating and are you eating enough, really? I try to strategize ways to get some easy snacks in, even if it's something like a mini meal, right? Like if it's a hard-boiled egg and some grapes and crackers, perfect. That's a great snack and something that can keep their energy up for breastfeeding.
What about like nuts, trail mix, things like that? The baby can taste everything, in that milk.
Yeah, absolutely. I think trail mix is a fabulous idea. I think it depends on each individual mother and mm-hmm. family and what is actually feasible for them too. Of course, it would be great if they could sit down and have, you know, a breakfast with eggs and hash browns and veggies every morning, but that's really difficult to do. So I think maximizing nutrients, but also making it as easy and feasible as possible for that family.
What about caffeine, the coffee, the tea, things like that?
Great question. Off the top of my head, I actually cannot recall the amount that's recommended for breastfeeding, but I know it's more than during pregnancy.
Hmm. Okay. So not you don't have to cut out the coffee completely.
No. And I think a lot of moms are probably surviving on that too.
Yeah, exactly.
In addition to the lack of sleep. Yeah, no, absolutely. I wouldn't overdo it, but a cup or two is sure.
Okay,
I'm sure.
Let's bring in Connor now in Madison. Connor, hi. What would you like to bring up?
Hi, Danielle. Thank you for sharing your expertise and information. But my quick question is about my baby's intake of breast milk and formula. Recently, we switched from breast milk to formula because, you know, it's just been hard on my partner producing breast milk. But I was wondering if that, you know, will have big changes on our baby's, you know, gut microbe development. That was my main question, what the differences are between formula and breast milk in terms of gut microbe development, and if there are formulas out there that you would recommend for getting the same nutrients for developing babies' gut microbes.
Great question, Connor. Thank
really
you.
Good
yes.
Question. Yeah. So, Connor, is he still on the line? Can you tell me how old his kiddo is?
Yes, I'm on the line.
How old, Connor?
How old is your baby?
Mm-hmm. She is 9 months old now.
Oh, wonderful. Well, she has already gotten 9 months of breast milk, and so that is incredible. I think you should definitely be proud of your partner and of yourself for that, because it is a lot of work. So she's gotten 9 months of breast milk. That's fabulous. You could potentially start a probiotic for her, although it's definitely not necessary. And I don't think that there are any formulas out there that are necessarily superior or very similar to breast milk. I would focus more on finger foods at this point and enjoying the feeding experience. You know, having maybe two or three meals per day and focusing more on the food than the formula at this point. Of course, that being said, formula should be the main source of nutrition until she's a year old, but I would focus more on enjoying the food and playing with food at this point than from formula.
How does that sound, Connor?
Yeah, that sounds very good. Thank you for that answer.
Connor, thank
yes,
you.
Of course.
Yes. You know, I found when I started switching to formula that with my first, at least, she was like, why are you holding back on me? This is like a malt. This is good stuff. You know, I mean, she really took to it. My second really didn't. They were like, no, I want the real thing. So, I mean, what is that transition like for babies when they go from breast milk to formula?
Oh, it really, really runs the gamut. Some babies love breastfeeding and you can't get them to take a bottle. Mm-hmm. And then there are some babies who prefer a bottle because it's easier to drink out of than using all the muscles it takes to nurse at the breast. So it really, really runs the gamut.
Okay. Jolene now in Chippewa Falls. Jolene, hi, go ahead.
Yeah, I just have a couple comments. One of them is, what I thought one of the best parts about breastfeeding is it's a time in a woman's life when you can eat like a pig and still lose weight because you're eating for two. And the pounds come off, but you eat and eat and eat because you're always hungry because you're feeding that baby. And then the second one is, okay, you talk about, you know, kids not liking the taste of milk depending on what you've eaten. Well, what I discovered was that chili powder, baby would still nurse, but it caused diaper rash.
Interesting.
Oh, interesting.
Danielle, what are your thoughts there on particular foods and what the mother eats? What, what results that might have?
Yeah, so again, I think it really depends on each individual baby too. I have some moms who say they can't eat beans because it causes gas in their baby, like really uncomfortable gas. But other moms can consume beans and their babies are just fine. And so it may be the case that this baby just does not tolerate spice very well, or that chili powder, and it's causing some irritation. But I think it takes a little bit of trial and error, too, to figure out what works for each individual baby.
We're talking with Danielle Zuhld, who is a registered dietitian nutritionist, certified lactation counselor, fielding your questions about pediatric nutrition, 800-642-1234. Danielle, you've created this acronym to help families practice safe eating habits, and it's you call it the ABCs for allergic reaction, bacteria, and choking hazard. Can you explain it?
Yeah, so I often have parents ask me what their babies can and can't eat at 9-10 months old. And for the most part, they can safely have pretty much anything. Of course, there are some outliers here, but the acronym that I go by is the ABCs. So if there is a risk of a family history of an allergy, perhaps, that might be something that you want to take with a little bit of caution, maybe even expose the baby to that food at a pediatrician's office. But if they've already gone through the steps at 6 months, we've ruled out that there are any other possible allergens, then we're probably good to go there. B is bacteria. So we really want to avoid anything that could have harmful bacteria. So honey below 1 year is a concern. Unpasteurized cheeses like Brie or Camembert, oysters, raw undercooked eggs, typically things that we wouldn't want to eat during pregnancy as well. Mm-hmm. And then C is choking hazard. So of course we wouldn't want to give babies hot dogs, grapes, globs of peanut butter, but also babies develop at their own pace. So what may be safe for one baby of the same age may not be safe for another baby. So you can really use your discretion here.
So with the baby, I'm wondering, you know, what if they start to really maybe not like veggies, but they love all the fruits? What if they have these really strong tendencies? What should you do about feeding?
Yeah, so luckily, a lot of the same nutrients that are in veggies are also in fruit. But that doesn't mean we only serve fruit. Because again, it can take many exposures of foods for babies and kids to accept new foods. And so sure, give them all the fruit, but also make sure to serve some veggies on the side so that they're giving that exposure and they're getting that opportunity to choose to eat veggies, because they'll never choose to eat something unless they've been given the opportunity to eat that food.
And we are running very short on time, but if you have a baby at home, can you give like one or two tips of advice that you can keep with us as, you know, we think about baby and infant nutrition? Just some parting advice.
Absolutely. So when I was growing up, you know, my parents always said, don't play with your food. Mm-hmm. And now we know that that is so far from the truth. We really want babies and kids to play with their food, to touch it, to get messy, because we know that that's how babies learn. That's how kids learn their environment, is through play. Mm-hmm. So I encourage food play with kids.
Danielle, thank you for joining us.
Yes, thank you so much for having me. This was fun.
Danielle Zuhld is a registered dietitian nutritionist, certified lactation counselor. Her business is called Picky Eating Dietitian. And earlier we talked with Carrie Malone and Chris Grover from Wisconsin's WIC program, the Supplemental Nutrition Program for Women, Infants, and Children. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. It's The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.